Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone, your podcast about failed and forgotten comic book movies, where we watch a forgotten superhero movie and decide, does this belong in the Phantom Zone to be forgotten for forever or out and about for everyone to rewatch and remember fondly? But Birdo, today we're reviewing a movie. What movie shall we review?
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Yeah.
Or is it just Aquaman, the Lost Kingdom?
No, it's and the Lost Kingdom.
Yeah.
I feel like half the time it's a colon situation, and then the other times
it's just a long title.
It's just a long title. It's one sentence.
But so this is just a long title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aquaman 2, the sequel.
Yeah.
And this marks the official end of the DCEU.
Yes. I feel like when The Flash came out, I forgot about this movie.
Same.
Like, the I forgot this was a movie that was coming out.
The Flash felt so much more like an ending
than this does. I can't wait for us to talk about the last scene of the DCEU.
God, yeah, it's pretty stupid.
I didn't hate it, but...
Well, I mean, when you say it that way, though, like the last scene of the DCEU,
right.
It's a bit of a letdown, isn't it?
It is, but it wasn't supposed to be the last scene of the DCEU.
I guess not. You know, this movie should have maybe come out before The Flash, and it was supposed to originally.
Oh, that makes sense.
And, like, obviously, like, neither this nor The Flash was intended to be the end of a cinematic universe. It just, this is how it happened.
These are just the next movie slated to come out.
And... Yeah. These are just the circumstances.
Yeah.
So it sucks that this is how it, like, you know, kind of fizzled out and popped.
I think if I ever do a DCEU rewatch, this would be right before The Flash, though.
I think I'd agree. I think The Flash at least feels like...
It makes the scene with Aquaman and The Flash make more sense, too, where he's just kind of, like, hanging out and drinking.
Oh, no, I don't think I'd watch that scene.
That scene kind of sucked.
I think I would just, like, you know, just, like, watch The Flash and just be like, hey, this is the end. Like, he reset the universe and now it's different. So that universe is gone or it's ended or we're just never going to see it again.
You could probably even watch this after the first Aquaman, since the DCU timeline's all over the fucking place anyway. And they all take place after Justice League because they decided to do the team up first.
I guess you could watch this in a couple places, but not too crazy.
Yeah.
Sure.
It has to be after Justice League.
Anyway.
They did it too early.
Let's get started. Guys, we just recently did the Aquaman TV pilot from 2006, in which we cover some background information on the character of Aquaman. So
we've already talked about him.
Yeah, we've talked about him. We're not going to really cover that again. So we're just going to get straight into the movie.
And nobody cares about Black Manta, so.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't want to do that. So anyway, guys.
Sorry, guys.
Go listen to that episode. It was a really good time. And it's a really funny movie.
I feel like I just pissed off a lot of people when I said nobody cares about Black Manta.
Black Manta probably has
I'm sure there's a bunch of fans of Black Manta.
Just a whole riot of fans.
Sorry, guys.
If you haven't been around for a review, how this works is we're going to talk about the movie without spoilers. And then later, we'll let you know, hey, we're going to talk spoilers. So if you haven't watched it and you care to preserve the integrity of the film, you can stop listening. But otherwise, let's get going. Also, we're streaming on Twitch. Every episode we do here is streamed live on Twitch. So if you want to be a part of the show, come hang out with us on twitch.tv/filmsfrompz while we record, announcing on our Discord and on Twitter. We're also live on Twitter and on YouTube. That's the thing we do now. So
apparently.
Okay. Apparently, yeah. I don't know. It costs money, so I hope it works. So anyway, this movie, are you ready? Written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. That's his name. What a name.
What a name.
Who is a longtime collaborator with James Wan. He basically writes all of James Wan's films.
Okay.
That's kind of nice to have some consistency,
so,
right?
James Wan did Insidious, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Okay. And then some of its
spin-offs/sequels.
I don't know much about those movies. He also did...
I saw the first one. I liked it. I haven't seen any other ones, though.
Didn't he do the first Saw? Isn't that how he made his, like, name? Was he was the Saw guy who made Saw on, like, $100 or whatever that fucking movie cost?
The fucking paperclip budget?
Yeah.
He did The Conjuring. Okay. Yeah, he did Saw.
Yeah, he's the co-creator of Saw and the Insidious franchise and the creator of The Conjuring Universe, which has several movies.
Yeah, that's like Annabelle, The Nun, all that.
Right.
Okay, so he's pretty big in horror.
Also, he did Furious 7.
He was involved with Megan, apparently. Okay.
And directed the last Aquaman movie, should be noted.
Yes. Oh, he's been involved with like every Saw movie.
Cast includes Jason Momoa as Arthur Curry / Aquaman, Patrick Wilson as Orm, Amber Heard as Mara, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II as David Kane / Black Manta. These are all reprisals.
Yeah, they were all in the first movie.
Yeah. Randall Park as Dr. Steven Shin. He was in the post-credits of the first movie.
I don't remember.
He was in the post-credits, yeah. Okay. So I remember thinking, oh, it was the same time he was entering the Marvel Universe.
As Jimmy Woo.
So I was like, oh, he's doing both things. Because it was like the same year that Ant-Man and the Wasp. What was the
post-credits? I can't remember.
There was two. And then one is Randall Park is discovering Atlantis. He's a scientist trying to find Atlantis.
Okay.
And then he gets...
Which is kind of where this movie starts.
Right. But then he gets met by Black Manta. And Black Manta's like, you going to help me or something.
That's right.
So okay. It kind of kicks off this movie.
Yeah.
It's actually, honestly, very much connected.
Yeah.
It's kind of the perfect post-credit scene for this film.
It's one of the few post-credit scenes that paid off in the DCU.
Tamara Morrison as Thomas Curry. Martin Short as the voice of Kingfish. I didn't know that was him, but okay.
Martin Short?
Yeah. He's the...
Jack Frost from the Santa Claus 3?
Correct. The one and the same. Nicole Kidman as Atlanta. Pilo... I don't know how to say it. That
Pilo
name.
He's
Danish.
Right. And it's one of those A and E's like combined.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce that.
But yeah, what's that? Anyway, he's Kordax, who's kind of the ultimate bad guy in this movie. And then John Rhys Davies, who we've seen a lot in our movies. He played the first Kingpin.
Gimli.
He's the voice of the Brine King as well as the giant seahorse.
I think he's going to be at MegaCon.
Is he?
I think so.
We should see him. So he also plays Storm, who is Arthur's seahorse. Mm. He played the octopus Topo.
He just made noises?
Yeah. And he did some other roles, I think. Just random voice
roles. Topo was pretty funny.
I love Topo. Anyway, let's get into it. No spoiler review. Berto, overall thoughts. Aquaman... And The Last Kingdom.
I actually kind of liked it, which is surprising because I am not a fan of the first movie.
I really like this movie.
I think this movie was an improvement in almost every way.
I also think it was an improvement over the first movie. I thought it was similar in the first movie, and I like to see the consistency. Again, I like to see that it's the same director, same writer, same cast. Same
style.
Clearly, the plot of this movie was already mostly decided on when they filmed the post-credits of the last movie.
Yeah.
So it connects well.
Yeah.
Like, there's
nothing hitting you out of the blue here. Yeah.
I like the consistency. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like an improvement. You know, the second time you do something, you're usually better at it than the first time. And this is a better movie in almost every way than the first one. I like that first movie. I just don't think it's great. But again, when we're talking about this...
And I'm a professional hater of that movie.
Yeah. On the scale of... good movie, bad movie, and movie I like and movie I don't like, it falls on a slightly bad movie, but a movie that I really like because I thought the action's great. It's over the top. It's very epic.
This one felt more like an adventure than the first one did, though.
Yeah, this is a different kind of movie, and I appreciate that they didn't try to one-up the previous movie. They tried to zig where the other one zag, you know? I mean, obviously, the end of that movie is like this enormous battle that you didn't see coming. All six kingdoms are involved, and it gets wild, and there's sharks and whales fighting and shit. I think it's awesome.
And we got Patrick Wilson screaming, "I am Ocean Master!"
Of course. If he doesn't bellow his villain name, then is it even a superhero movie worth anything? No. But I like that this one decided to just go a little small story. You know, there's a small cast of characters doing this very specific adventure. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of movie, and I really like that.
Yeah, and Black Manta was much better this time around than he was in the first movie.
He's a little bit more fleshed out.
He's more fleshed out, but I also think his character works better being a little more... No spoilers. He's a little more unhinged in this one.
Oh, he's very unhinged.
Whereas in the first movie, he's just kind of a whiny bitch. He's like, I want revenge on Aquaman. Because he killed my murderous father.
Right. Like, your dad sucks. You should expect someone to murder your father. If anything, it's a sign of respect.
And also, I think they flash back and you saw the same stupid line from the first movie where it's like, you need to get out of here so you can kill that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck you, dude.
They did resample that. These people suck. I think that's something
They were murderous pirates, and you want... revenge. Like, what? You think it's like righteous if you get revenge or something?
Right. Because
you're the bad guy.
Exactly. I see where you're going. I like that this treats that character instead of like, hey, maybe you should feel something for him. No, you can't find any sympathies with this right. character. Instead, what if he like goes off the rails, full on unhinged bad
much
guy?
Much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You just see this guy and you're like, oh, he fucking sucks. And you enjoy watching him because he's unhinged and because mm-hmm. he's super evil.
And the people working for him are scared of him.
Yeah, for sure.
And you see a lot of that with the Jimmy Woo character.
Jimmy Woo and I guess some of the other people.
Jimmy Woo, Jim Halpert.
Jim
Kim,
Halpert.
Kim Jong-il? Kim Jong-un? Who did he play in the interview? Is it Un or Il?
Who's the new one?
I don't remember.
Un is the new one. He's the young okay. one. He's the son.
He Kim plays Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un, yeah.
Yes.
Kim Jong-il was the father. Okay, so to break us into our little categories we like to do, story-wise, I think this movie is a bit derivative.
Of in multiple place, things.
Of multiple things. And I think it's a bit simplistic in terms of story. I mostly think that's okay. Because
I wasn't mad at that.
Everything else kind of pays off in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it still has its surprises. Towards the end of the movie, I was actually surprised. I thought there was a couple minor twists mm-hmm. that I didn't see coming. Not part of the normal structure. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. I like that. But yeah, it's a bit derivative of things like Thor the Dark World, surprisingly.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're just doing Thor the Dark World. That's funny. But I think this is a better movie than Thor the Dark World.
And like, I think we would both agree that even Thor the Dark World has some pretty good stuff in it.
No, for sure.
I do think it's overhated, but like, it's not a great movie.
All right. But like, gun to your head, which is the better movie?
This one.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a better movie than,
a better movie than Thor the Dark World. Yeah. I'll defend Thor to Dark World, but this was better.
Yeah. And it's also like very strong Lord of the Ring element to it.
Yes.
Which we'll get into in spoilers. There's also a very strong Darth Vader element to this. Did you catch those references?
A little bit of that too. And also, you might not know this one, but I got a lot of elements from Warcraft in this too.
Oh, really?
Specifically, the Lich King. Okay. Which is kind of derivative of the Witch King from Lord of the Rings also.
Okay. Well, but, there you go.
But so I pulled up a picture of the Lich King. I want to tell me if this looks familiar at all to anything that you saw in the Aquaman movie.
Yeah, it's pretty much him, isn't it?
Yep. That's him sitting on the frozen throne.
Oh, well, there you go.
He gets frozen on his throne. Yeah, yeah. See.
All right, well, that's one for one then.
As soon as when I saw that in the movie, I'm like, oh, this is Warcraft.
Yeah, there you go.
Look, I wasn't mad at it.
Everything is going to share some elements.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the first thing to copy Lord of the Rings. Harry Potter did Lord of the Rings. Star Wars has taken elements.
There were bits of Star Wars in this too, I felt, when they...
I think there's
like a pirate place that they go to, like a pirate, not a port because it's underwater, yeah, but...
Kind of.
It felt very much like a Mos Eisley type deal.
I see that. Yeah.
Or that cantina on Coruscant in episode 2.
Yeah. Or... Maz Kanata's Tavern. Come on.
Yeah. I guess each trilogy has the classic Maz Kanata's castle that we see once.
Well, okay, story-wise again, like I said, it's simple, but it gets the job done. I don't think there's any major holes in it. I quite enjoyed it. What really carries this movie, we're going to get to in a little bit, is I think the actors and the chemistry between specifically two of them.
Are we talking Patrick Wilson and...
Yeah, Jason Momoa and Patrick Wilson.
No, it was so good seeing them like on screen together, whereas in the first movie, like they kind of just like growl at each other a little bit, and that's it.
Yeah. I love Patrick Wilson as an actor.
I do too, but honestly.
To your point, I don't think that character was that fleshed out in the first movie. He was just kind of like...
But this movie...
Power-hungry bad guy.
This movie kind of plays on that too, because he still kind of has the same personality. He's a little more accepting this time around, though. Because he doesn't really have a choice.
Yeah, he's humbled.
He's humbled a little bit.
Right.
I did enjoy seeing them on screen together. And I think they were the highlight of the movie, honestly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hold on. Just realized I'm thirsty and I'm behind on water.
I just realized I haven't had water today.
Realize you haven't had any water today. Wow.
I'll drink a liquid IV when I get home.
That's not. Okay.
It hydrates you.
With what water?
Obviously, I'll mix it with water.
Okay.
No, I'm just going to drink the powder? What?
I don't know, dude. I'm just saying. A liquid IV in one bottle of water is not the same as six bottles of water.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. I'm not arguing that.
You should just drink more water.
I'm just saying it's a way for me to catch up.
Okay. What were we just talking about?
That Patrick Wilson. Did you know he plays jazz?
Jazz who?
Jazz, like the music. The music.
Oh, he plays jazz music.
Yes.
Okay, you know, he's an actor, and you're like, did you know he plays jazz? I'm like, who's jazz? Like, that's...
not the Transformer. I'm not talking about the Transformer.
Well, that's what I thought for a second. Stupid fuck. Okay. Anyway. Great chemistry. Yeah, he was humble. That's what we were talking about. Yes. And in this, it creates a little bit more room for him to, like...
to be a character.
To have some more nuance in maybe what his position was in the last movie, where he's like, I want to be a leader and I want to take over. And now he's like, yeah, but what makes a good leader? Now he's asking himself what makes a good leader. And these are questions that Jason Momoa's character is also asking himself from a different perspective.
And he can almost kind of be a mentor to him a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And they do a good job of together, they fill the gaps that the other one is missing.
It's like they're brothers.
I know. And that brotherly sense really kind of comes out.
It does shine in this movie, yeah.
I really, really like that. What else can we talk about? Oh, here's actually the other thing that really carries this movie, the action.
It is actually, it's so much better than it was in the first movie.
No, but the action in the first movie was good.
Action in the first movie was passable.
No, I think the action in the first movie was good. It was the story beats in between. That were shit.
And the dialogue. The dialogue was dog shit.
And it didn't carry the movie well from action scene to action scene. So it was hard to appreciate the action in that last movie, whereas in this
by
one...
by the time you got to the action, you're bored. You're,
I don't disagree. This one, however, very good action. Very clean cut. Except for the first sequence, which I'll get to spoilers.
It was very odd.
First sequence is odd, and I have a theory why. We'll get to it.
Okay.
After the two of them get together, and then the action picks up after that, as in Jason Momoa and Patrick Wilson.
The desert scenes and stuff?
Yeah. Once, again, we're in no spoilers. Yeah. But once the main plot picks up...
I didn't say what happened in the desert.
All right. Well, once the main plot picks up, you know, then like the action gets really good.
Yeah.
And I was honestly kind of surprised by it.
There's also parts that kind of feel Indiana Jones-like.
For sure.
The first movie did a little bit of that too.
Oh yeah, when they go to the underground in the desert.
Yeah. Wow, they go to the desert a lot in these movies, huh? I thought it was Aquaman.
Yeah, seriously. Not only is the action really good, the camera work is good. The cinematography of this is clean and well shot. It's well paced and it's well edited, I think.
It feels like a lot of lessons were learned from the first movie.
Maybe. I just think it's very clean.
Yeah.
I think it's very good. It's one of these situations where like I feel like overall this is a movie that suffers from its place in the DCEU.
Unfortunately.
No one wants to go see this movie. That being said, I was surprised to find out that it didn't bomb.
What did it do, like 400 million?
It did like 400 million.
That's
on like
respectable.
On like a 200 million budget. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like it didn't lose money.
I
was blown away by that fact.
It might only be because of the fact that the first movie, it was received well.
Yeah, but it's like, it's weird because like I didn't see
it.
It
was also back in 2017.
I don't know.
Though.
It kind of goes to show like how you can't see these things in action. Like your circle, like we live in
bubbles.
Flash
didn't do well because of Ezra Miller.
Well, like I guess that's right because this movie did better than Flash, but there was
so
much
more. This movie had some stuff against it with Amber Heard though, but.
She's barely in the movie, by the way.
Barely in the movie, yeah.
Hold on a second. How much money did The Flash make?
I thought it didn't really end up doing that well.
No, I thought it bombed.
And then, like, Blue Beetle, just nobody showed up for it.
The Flash made $271 million. This is already at $415 and it's still in theaters. That's not going to make a whole lot more.
It's barely still in theaters.
But it's not far...
It's going to be on Netflix soon.
It's not far away from, like, twice as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there was so much more conversation around The Flash than this that, like, it just goes to show that, like, we live in bubbles, you know?
Also, all the conversation about The Flash was negative.
I guess you're
there was
right.
No good
but
buzz about The Flash.
But people saw it, though. That's the thing. Even to have a negative opinion, you have to go see the movie.
Right.
I didn't hear anyone talk about Aquaman. I guess people saw it and just was like, oh, cool. Good movie. And then, like, went home.
The only stuff I've seen on Aquaman is recently where it's like it made $400 million. I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's surprising.
But I don't see any other, like, anything else really about it. Just like, it did all right in the box office. Like, that's it.
Anyway.
There's no, like, positive or negative buzz.
Right. Middle of the road, but made good money. People went and saw it. Insane to me. It goes to show. If this movie was set in a universe, even if it was in the Marvel universe, something that is, like, still chucking along, a lot more people would have gone and seen it. And it's always a little bit sad. We said the same thing with The Flash and Blue Beetle. And anytime we talk about DC, it's sad that like that lack of momentum is what's hurting individual films.
Yeah.
Basically. When really, this movie I thought was really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, even with Marvel, though, that's starting to happen, too. Like, the Marvels didn't do that well.
Yeah, and I think next year's break is going to help a lot.
I think so. Well,
because there's already a lot of good steam going into Deadpool.
There is. It's all, like, leaked shit, and Ryan Reynolds is pissed, but...
I'm wearing a Deadpool shirt. I'm excited about Deadpool.
I am, too. I need to rewatch the first two movies soon.
We might do those, since it's, like...
Technically part of a failed universe?
Yeah, since it's like both in and out of a failed universe, I feel like we should do it. You know what I mean?
I think it'll count on a technicality.
Yeah, sure. We'll do it.
Should we?
And maybe start Wolverine movies also.
Maybe I feel like we go from Deadpool into Wolverine.
I think that's what the spring is going to be, is Deadpool and Wolverine.
It'd be nice to dip our toes back into the Fox universe.
Definitely Wolverine's last movie anyway. So
I can't wait till we are able to do Fantastic Four stuff.
Well, yeah. Anyway, back to this. Do you want to move on into spoilers?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We talked about our overall thoughts. Let's get into spoilers. Story things. Auric Halcomb is a real thing. Did you know that?
I've heard the word before.
It's a real compounder element. But it's not an element.
I think I've heard it in like a video game, so I think I still thought it was like fictional.
Oh, no, it's real.
Okay.
It's not special, but it's real. Apparently, like it has... It's like a copper color, and then underwater it kind of changes and turns kind of bluish, greenish.
Okay.
So I think that's why it formed inspiration for like fictional things in comic books.
Okay.
In the comics, it has superpowers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's used for powers of astro projection.
That is not what it's used for in the...
It is what it's used for. Which is why...
But it's also...
Kordax or whatever his fucking name is.
That's how he's able to
communicate with.
Is that trident made from Auric Halcomb?
Auric Halcomb? Probably. It has Auric Halcomb powers, I guess.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
But the Auric Halcomb itself, they're using as a fuel source mostly.
Yeah, but remember, they created an entire society and technology around Auric Halcomb, including the magic.
Yeah.
Whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's all part and parcel.
That's what the whole Lost Kingdom was.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I had to remind myself of all the kingdoms because this is the Lost Kingdom.
Why is it always seven kingdoms?
Seven seas, baby.
What are the seven seas?
I don't know, actually. I've always wondered that because I'm like...
What are they?
Because there's oceans, too. So it's like, what are... I think seas... As far as seven seas go, the oceans are a part of it. I don't know, dude.
I'm sure it's something we could easily look up. I'm just not going to do it.
I don't care to. The six kingdoms are as follows. Remember, in the first movie, we met all six kingdoms. So this is
at the time,
kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one, Atlantis. You know it, you love it.
Yeah.
Number two,
Zebel,
which is Mera and Nereus's kingdom. So remember, Dolph Lundgren.
That's where the waterbenders are from.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Dolph Lundgren's character is a king. He's Mera's dad. And
he has such a weird filter over his voice. I kind of hate it.
Oh, yeah? Okay, and I should be clear. I didn't mention this before. There are certain things that are really kind of fucked in this movie, including some of the CGI. And
Dolph. A lot of the underwater faces look
bad. Yeah. Like, straight bad. And it made me question whether it looked that bad in the first movie. And I don't think they did.
I don't remember
also,
if they did.
They didn't look that bad in either Justice League movie. So it's like...
True, so what happened
here?
Yeah.
I think some of it comes from reshoots and some of it comes from like, fuck, we're out of money. Like,
honestly, that might
whatever.
Be part of it, yeah.
Third kingdom, the Fisherman Kingdom. Not in this movie, they were in the previous movie, but that's the one where they're all kind of like mermaid-looking people.
Mm.
And the king is Digimon Hansu's character.
Oh, yep.
He gets killed by Ocean Master.
Yeah.
Mm. I think, actually, they are mentioned in this because... Ocean Master is a prisoner of the Fisherman Kingdom. So all
they were risking war by breaking him out.
Right,
and stuff,
right. I think that prison that they break him out of, that belongs to the Fisherman Kingdom.
Okay.
The fourth kingdom is the Brine, and those are all the crab-looking people.
Well, he gets his claw cut off in the first movie.
Yeah. So,
is it cut off or like bitten off?
I don't know.
He mentions it in this movie, too. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a joke. It's John Reeves Davies' character. He's a big crab guy.
He's quite funny.
I like him. And then number five, the Trench. So those are those people that like...
That was like the horror scene from the first movie. Yeah.
They've devolved into monsters and they live outside of the light deep in under the ocean.
Yeah.
That was a good sequence of that
Probably
movie,
Probably in the Mariana Trench, actually.
Yeah, and they were going to have, for whatever reason, WB wanted to make its own Trench movie, a spinoff. Do you remember?
I feel like you could have made a cool horror movie on that, but
yeah,
if it's like about them, though, I feel like that'd be... How do you do that?
That'd be fun.
I feel like you could do something cool like, you know, some explorers going down into the Mariana Trench.
The DCEU could have been so fun if it had like a horror movie set in the DCEU with no superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, hey, here's a movie just set in that universe.
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. The sixth kingdom is the deserters, and they're basically all dead. But they went up into the, I guess, the land, and then
they died.
Aren't
those like, we see like their ruins in the first movie?
Yeah, you see their ruins, but they're not existent anymore. The seventh kingdom is the one we meet here. Necris, the lost kingdom. So they're, I guess, these one of two kingdoms that don't exist anymore.
Apparently... formed by, was it the brother of the king of Atlantis, King Atlan?
It was, yeah, King Atlan's brother. I had his name here somewhere. Played by the Danish guy,
Kordax.
His name is Kordax. Yeah. Those are the seven kingdoms.
Okay.
That reminds me of somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean and then somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. It just made me go, just don't even.
Didn't they do that shit in the first movie too?
Yeah. And I'm just like, just don't have a card then. Like, you don't need it then. You know what I mean?
Didn't the 2006 Aquaman thing do that too? Wasn't it like somewhere in the whatever?
Maybe. Maybe we made fun of that.
Is it a running joke?
I don't know,
Is this an Aquaman gag?
Because it's like, at that point, you just go like, hey, ocean, who cares?
Or like Pacific Ocean and put random coordinates there.
Yeah, that's
there
good.
There we go.
Yeah, that's some MonsterVerse shit.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Just say Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean. Don't somewhere. That doesn't tell you anything.
It makes it seem like a child wrote that.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, we talked about the cinematography. We talked about the acting.
Oh, Black Manta, just the trident driving him fucking nuts over the course of the movie.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was talking about in terms of both Lord of the Rings and
The trident's
Vader.
Like the Ring of Power.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then Kordax is Sauron.
Sauron. Or the... Lich King from World of Warcraft, or Sidious.
Basically, anyone who touches the thing,
he like connects with their mind.
Trident, he connects. Yeah. It's just like the ring, and he corrupts them, makes them evil. He makes them power hungry. He says, "I'll give you whatever you want if you come free me." It's the same thing as Sauron.
Yeah.
So
it's like, yeah, Black Manta's kind of a victim in this movie, but also like he's.
It only works because he sucks so bad.
Right.
See, like if
like it played into him being a piece of shit.
Right. If Randall Park's character picked up the trident, which he does for a second, he just sees all the visions.
He gets scared.
He's not going to go and try to take over the world.
No, he's like, we need to fucking stop everything we're doing right now because this is horrifying.
And there's the scene where Orm picks it up and now he's tempted by ultimate power because he is way stronger than Black Manta.
Yeah, but he is fighting it.
He does a good job of fighting it.
Yeah, because Kordax is like, oh, you're perfect for this.
Yeah.
Like,
you're way better than that last guy. Fuck that last guy.
I'm done with him.
That human piece of shit. Knock him over the edge. I do love that part where he just punches him.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. But this is also where I get some of that Darth Vader reference. There's a part where Randall Park is like walking up on him and he kind of like sees him kind of vulnerable in his quarters or whatever.
Yeah.
And he gets mad at that, shuts the door. I'm like, that's the Darth Vader scene. It's straight out of Empire Strikes Back, which is fine. It's just like, it's the same thing.
Black Manta was done really well in this. And I think it's because they played into him being a piece of shit and they were able to like, he plays unhinged pretty well.
I thought the actor's really good.
Yeah.
He's one of those actors that I think should be on the short list. We talked about this.
For Kang.
Yeah, to replace
Majors. Was he in talks for something Marvel related, though? Or there was rumors?
Maybe.
Was it like Wonder Man or something? Yeah.
You know who I just saw on TV and I was like, oh, maybe he should be the next Kang because he's incredible.
Who?
Sterling K. Brown.
He has an Oscar nomination, I believe, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was in... The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. American Fiction. He was in Black Panther.
I think he was the uncle.
Yeah, at the beginning of the movie?
Yeah. Can't forget Angry Birds Movie 2 and Frozen 2.
Oh, yeah. Angry Birds Movie 2, classic. Yeah.
So this is where I saw him yesterday. I'm rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah. How far in Brooklyn, how much have you seen that show?
All right. So weird fact, I have only seen the Halloween Heist episodes.
Oh, wow.
And always on accident, but I've seen all of the Halloween Heist.
All of them? You're missing some vital context. Anyway, you should watch the episode with Sterling K. Brown because it's a bottle episode.
Okay.
You don't need any context for it at all. You can just pick it up and watch it. Mm. It's incredible. He was a guest on it.
He got an Emmy for it?
He got an Emmy nomination for it.
Okay.
For guest in a TV series.
Hmm.
Incredible episode. So well written, so well executed, and he just comes in and steals the show. Boom. And I'm like, give that man a Marvel role, damn it.
He already had one.
Another one. He was only in it for a second. You could recast him. No one will remember.
That's true.
It's like there's been a couple of those.
Terrence Howard.
Not Terrence Howard. There's a couple of people have double dipped and you kind of don't really notice.
The woman that played Mariah in Luke Cage. She was also in Civil War.
Civil War, that's right.
Which I feel like her role in Luke Cage was actually a pretty big role. So it was weird that.
Yeah.
She was like just throwaway character in Civil War.
Okay.
It was one scene though. So
anyway.
I know there's a few more.
There's a bunch more.
Yeah. Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, but one's a voice.
True.
And one's not canon.
Yes, it is. It's the most interconnected any show has been with the movies.
Shut
anyway.
I don't care about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You should, is all I'm saying.
Costumes and music. Look. Whatever.
It's Aquaman.
I don't know what there is to say. I like the costume. I like his OG costume.
I thought the score was fine. It wasn't offensive to my ears or anything.
I went to the bathroom in the scene that I assume was a 007 and Q scene where he's getting stuff like his suit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Topo.
His stealth suit, and then you got Topo. I love that Orm like recognizes him.
Topo. So,
because Aquaman's like, yeah, I got this stupid octopus with me or whatever. And then Orm sees him and he's like, Topo?
Topo stands for Tactical Observation and Pursuit Operative. He's a tactical operative for Atlantis that aids Arthur.
He's like in the 007 Orm of
and on their quest. In addition to playing several instruments, such as the drums. We see him in the first movie playing the drums.
Yeah.
So, was there a scene that explained Topo?
Yeah.
That's when I was in the bathroom. Yeah. What happened?
They just kind of explained what he does, and then...
Is he a robot, or is he an octopus?
He's an octopus.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a living thing.
They just communicate with him.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He's their field operative.
Okay, that's awesome.
It's kind of funny.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
And then he gets a suit, and I guess at some point, do they tell him it's a stealth suit?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. See, I missed that scene, so I had to put it together in context when he started disappearing.
Like, what the fuck?
I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I love that. No, they explain all that, too.
I love that, too. I think it's a great costume. It's from the comics. There was a whole era where he wore a similar costume.
A stealth suit?
Yeah.
It's that color, too, right?
Yeah, it looks just like that. It's great.
So, I like it way better than, like, the golden scaled.
No, I love that, too.
I don't know.
It's such a great... You know why? Because it looked at the comics and looked at the classic costume and it said, how can we bring this into live action without it looking gaudy and stupid? And it did
that. It looks kind of gaudy.
I think it did it well. Also, it worked out really well that when he's introduced in Justice League, he just has, like, a green costume. And it's like, okay, it looks scaly and it looks like from Atlantis or from another world. It looks very alien, but it's like not his iconic look. And then he earned his iconic look in that movie.
True.
I think from a costume perspective, I think it works out perfectly.
All right.
Ha. Anyway.
Ah, his stealth suit's still cool.
Did you know that Willem Dafoe's character, who was killed off screen in this movie, it made me question.
Was he not killed in the first movie?
Exactly. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, shit, did he die in the first movie? And I forgot. No, he survived in that movie. He was going to be in this movie, scheduling conflicts with Willem Dafoe, so they killed him off screen.
Something to do with Spider-Man, I think.
No way. That movie was 2 years ago, dude. There's no way. It would have been.
How long ago was this movie being made, though?
That's not back
remember, DC,
then, dude.
I feel
not
like, delays all their shit by years.
There's no way it was because of Spider-Man.
Maybe it was
because
of Poor Things.
Yeah, exactly. He's been in other movies.
Yeah. The Lighthouse. Years ago.
Yeah, seriously. So there's a mid-credits scene.
It's a follow-up on a joke from earlier in the movie where
it's just Orm eating a burger and a beer, and he sees a cockroach, which I thought was a good gag.
It is a good gag. I love that. Aquaman tricked him into thinking roaches are like a delicacy.
Right. But then he like likes it.
Yeah. He's like, this is good food.
Yeah. Because he's like from the sea and he's weird.
Here's the thing, though. That last scene, it really made me want like a greasy burger.
Oh, 100%.
And when the lady brings it out, she's like extra greasy, just like you asked.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks good.
You had a greasy burger today. Did that not help?
It helped a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
That was a pretty greasy burger, yeah.
Like you walked into my house with a greasy burger.
Yes, I did.
You're proud of it, too. Anyway, so this post-credit scene takes the place, or maybe, I don't know, but there were scenes that we knew going into this that were filmed for...
Batman was supposed to be in this movie.
Yes, for Batman. For both Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck.
They were spotted on the Warner Brothers lot.
Yes. So how this worked originally was that this movie... was set before... Okay, hold on a second. I'm trying to remember how this worked. Originally, this movie was set after The Flash, because The Flash was supposed to come out forever ago, right?
Right.
So because at one point when they said, hey, Michael Keaton is the future Batman, this is the direction we're going in, Keaton filmed a cameo in this movie, right?
Okay.
Then they moved things around and said, well, it wouldn't make sense. And I'm kind of guessing here because I kind of don't remember.
You're like, wait, this is actually before The Flash.
It's before The Flash. Then things got re-delayed and this got shuffled after The Flash again. But by which point, they had already talked to both Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck. Because
they were both supposed to come back. Yep.
And so in a really quick fashion... both Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck filmed a few cameos.
And then they were swiftly cut.
Yes. Henry Cavill filmed a cameo for Black Adam. That came out.
Right.
Right. He also filmed another cameo, probably for The Flash, that was cut.
Oh, I kind of want to watch that scene again just to see Henry Cavill in the Superman
scene. I know.
But fuck the Black Adam movie. Trust me.
I know. Meanwhile, Affleck filmed a cameo for this.
That was who they spotted on the lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And during a tour.
Exactly. Because people literally saw him on the WB Backlot tour. That cameo was supposed to take the place of Michael Keaton's because Keaton's, I guess, didn't make sense anymore, even though now it kind of makes sense.
But after what we actually got in The Flash, it would have made zero sense.
Zero sense, because Keaton didn't survive in that movie. But remember, there was three different endings to that movie, and they were waiting to see how it would play out.
Right. Imagine if we also had a... a cameo with George Clooney.
Exactly. It gets wild. Yeah. So they had all these different options available. What kills me is that they had two options to put Batman in this movie, and they said neither.
At this point, it's fine because it's not going to lead to anything, so whatever.
Or it's not fine because it's not going to lead to anything, so there's nothing to lose. So
why not do it?
Exactly. Yeah. So my theory, and I've seen this other places too, so... but I also thought of it, is that the scene would not have been a post-credit scene, although I'm sure they might have filmed a different post-credit scene. It would have been earlier in the movie. I think that first action scene when Aquaman is fighting the pirates, I think Batman was there too, because it's so chopped up.
When he's like telling his story to the kid. Yeah.
And I think that whole, I'm telling it to a kid and it's framed like that, I think all of that is a reshoot because... it's a perfect way of cutting in and out of that action sequence.
Like the reason why it looks weird is because they probably cut Batman out of it. But they made it work in the movie as being like just cutting back to him, like exaggerating a story or something.
Yeah. All the shots with Batman and they just cut out and they have Aquaman in the present tell it as if it's a story.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
If you're going to cut it, I guess that's a clever way to do it.
But it doesn't...
It didn't need to be done.
To me, it doesn't work because I thought the entire first act of the movie was so weird and choppy. It's a lot of tell, don't show. Yeah. It's a lot of Aquaman just like, hey, this is what my life is now, and I go over here.
And I have a kid now. I love it.
I have a kid. I don't really understand politics. I hate that. I'm snoozing through the meetings. And it's like, dude, you could have just filmed scenes to show
this
stuff.
Of all this happening, yeah.
At that point, it kind of becomes clear that like they had filmed some stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, but we're actually going to cut this shit, you know?
But we still want to use some of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think that opening scene in The Pirates is both Aquaman and Batman fighting together. Keep in mind, remember the sailors are like super excited. They're like, oh, these heroes are here. I really think that's what's on their faces, is that they're seeing Aquaman and Batman fighting together.
Okay.
But again, fucking leave it in. Remember, The Flash had all these cameos, and they're like, yeah, whatever, dude. It's the last Wonder movie. Woman's in it. Wonder Woman's in it. Affleck's
both
in it.
Both Batmans are in it.
Clooney's in it for no other reason than a gag. Again,
isn't Clooney's Batman supposed to still be Keaton's Batman?
No, it's a different universe.
I thought it was supposed to be like the same.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's like he reset the universe again, and now there's an unrecognizable Batman.
No, I mean like in the old movies.
Oh, yes.
That's supposed to be the same Batman throughout, right?
So, okay.
We talked about it, but that was years ago.
Yeah. So how it works is that Keaton is recast as Clooney.
Well, first
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
So Keaton is recast as Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer is recast as Clooney. For the Clooney film, all of those are canon.
Okay.
Since then, they have kind of split and kind of been like, some of these, like the first two movies, kind of go off in their own direction.
They did that with comics, right?
They had a comic.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Also because like Two-Face is like race swapped also because he becomes Tommy Lee Jones. In the second movie.
Yeah, because Harvey Dent was
Lando Calrissian.
Yes, Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams. And then he's Tommy Lee Jones.
Which so, was weird.
Meanwhile, other actors stayed on, like the Commissioner and Alfred are the same actor.
Right.
So
it's weird.
The continuity is questionable. You could say 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all together, but then 1, 2, and then splitting timeline.
Oh, this is some Halloween shit.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Or even Terminator.
Yeah. We talked about this during The Flash, but even during The Flash, the mansion that they go to is from the first movie, not the second movie.
Okay.
Because in the second movie, it's a different mansion.
Yeah, why'd they do that?
Because fucking, what's his name? Tim Burton.
Tim Burton got more creative control.
He got
I want to get wacky with it.
He got kookier with it, yeah.
And we already said, I think I like Batman Returns more than Batman. I just like how weird it got. I don't know.
I could totally see those movies being set in different universes. Because they, to an extent, they feel very different.
They do. But like I always thought it was weird. It's like, that's supposed to be the same Batman, though, right?
Right. Yeah. So like I can definitely see this, like The Flash, that Michael Keaton being the one from the first one, but not the second one, or the third one, or the fourth one. You
those
know, you
movies
what I'm saying?
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that train of thought.
He killed the Joker, and then he was done.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, I would love if one day, and it was obviously never going to happen, but I would love to go to a different universe where I could see this movie with Ben Affleck's Batman in that opening scene. There's no reason not to. Again, it's the same thing as Wonder Woman being in The Flash for a minute. Just fucking.
Speaking of different universes, I don't know if you've seen this. It's been kind of popular on Reddit, specifically the Flash subreddit, where ever since this new year started, everyone's been pretending that all of the Flash media is actually the Sam Raimi Spider-Man media. It's like a weird meme going on right now.
What are you talking about?
Where everybody's pretending they're from a universe where Sam Raimi made a Flash trilogy. It's stupid, but it's pretty funny.
Instead of Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Just go on the Flash subreddit and just take a look.
I'll do that later.
I think it's specifically like the Flash TV show subreddit. They've done shit like that before, though, where like the Arrow subreddit became a Daredevil subreddit because they were so pissed at the show.
Why?
I don't know. Reddit's weird.
Because they're fucking bored, man. I don't. Okay. Anyway, the only other thing I have was this random Easter egg of how much Jason Momoa loves Guinness. Which is why Guinness has played.
Him and his dad are always drinking Guinness.
So. Yeah, which is why I got worked into these fucking movies.
So they can drink it on the job.
Yes, that fucking Aquaman loves Guinness. It's because Jason Momoa loves Guinness.
Guinness is a good beer. I respect it.
I don't like Guinness. But he loves Guinness so much that it's part of his workout regimen.
That's wild.
His dietitian and his like trainer have worked Guinness into his diet.
He's like, I need to drink it, so yes. Let's make this work.
So like he takes whatever carbs and calories he takes in for Guinness is worked out of his food.
Guinness is a lot of carbs.
Right. So he doesn't go over his carbs. So basically he's sacrificing like pastas and shit.
He eats less so that he can drink
so that
more.
He can drink Guinness. Yep. Like he
Guinness
had like
has a lot of sugar in it too.
Yeah, he had like a brand deal with Guinness. Like they made his own like line of beer or something like
that. I love how much he loves it though.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like if I was famous, I would just be doing everything with Hyalai. You know what I mean? Like I fucking love Hyalai. So I respect that 100%. But I think it's just funny. And this movie, I'm like, man, they're drinking a lot of Guinness in this movie.
Right out of the can, too. He's not even pouring it.
Yeah.
Which is like,
which is weird. Like,
that's not how you're supposed to drink Guinness. You're supposed to
pour it, for sure. But wonderful product placement. In the first movie, they drink Guinness. And I want to say in Justice League, he's just drinking whiskey.
Maybe, because that was before...
I guess he had the creative control to be like, no, Guinness.
Right.
That's what I fucking want. Nonstop Guinness.
He's like, nah, whiskey is a man's drink.
All right. Do you have anything else on Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom?
I think I've said my piece.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about Amber Heard. She's barely in the movie.
She's in the movie.
I'm interested to know if...
anything was cut or if that was just what it originally was.
I think if anything, just a few minutes were cut. Maybe she had an extra scene.
It seemed like she didn't have an important role in the plot, like, period.
At all. Yeah. I don't think she was ever meant to do that much in this movie. No. And I don't think it was for her problematic nature. I think they just wrote a movie where she's barely
WB
in it.
WB has said, like, we didn't cut anything out. Like,
I think
her role was just reduced already.
I think they just kind of got lucky because they were like, no, we made a movie for...
Thank God we barely have her in it.
Yeah, like, by happenstance, she's barely in this movie. So like, whatever. Yeah. Again, she's barely in it. If that's something you're concerned about, don't be.
Also like, whatever.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, again, I'm at this
point...
Shitty
people going to be shitty.
Yeah, I'm at this point where I'm like, we watch a ton of movies with shitty people and it's like, there are a bunch of shitty people that we fucking don't care about and we watch their movies anyway. Yeah. So it's like,
and there's a bunch of shitty people that I wouldn't even know are shitty yet.
Yeah. 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 So imagine how you're going to feel then. Anyway. And there are worse people than Amber Heard. Like she sucks, but she sucks publicly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's not out there hurting anybody.
Well, I mean.
I think
she did hurt Johnny Depp, but like.
Yeah, but whatever. They can hurt each other. I don't give a shit about Johnny Depp.
They were hurting each other. Yeah. they're both shitty.
I think that's what it boils down to is like, I don't give a shit about Johnny Depp either. It's just who cares.
He's just like, eh. So didn't we cancel him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I'd love to see another Pirates movie. That's good. A good Pirates movie.
The last two are bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's it for us, you guys. Thank you for listening. Actually, let's talk about what movie we're doing next. We are doing The Last Airbender.
Dun, dun, dun.
By M. Night Shyamalan. Based on
fuck that movie.
Yeah.
I got a chip on my shoulder.
You already know it's going into the Phantom Zone.
Like I'm going to have depressing facts about this
one. Dude, I forgot all about depressing facts. Can you bring that back?
I can try to.
Oh, dude, yeah.
The thing is, I have to be able to find them. Mario, all the actors are just talking shit about the movie
there's tons of stuff on this movie. Yeah. There's so much out there. Obviously, Avatar The Last Airbender. The Netflix live action adaptation is coming out. So we're going to review The Last Airbender is what it's called. The 2010 M. Night Shyamalan movie. Based on the first time
I wanted to walk out of a theater.
Based on the global phenomenon, Avatar The Last Airbender. Meanwhile, on Where's Mephisto, as the show comes out, it's all going to drop at once. I'm pretty sure it's a Netflix show.
It's only, eight episodes?
8 or 10.
Okay.
I think it's 8. We'll be talking about the Netflix show on Where's Mephisto only on our Patreon. So please, 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 if you love us, go drop a few dollars and listen to that. So we'll do that next. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to that piano dude for our musical intro. Make sure you leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get this podcast. Make sure to tell a friend, please. And if you've told a friend, thank you so much for telling that friend. I'm trying to work up some sort of merch thing. So if you'd like a t-shirt.
I have had people asking me about merch.
We should do that. It's been 3 years. We should probably.
It's crazy that we don't even sell a t-shirt with our logo on it.
We should probably just sell a t-shirt. If you'd like to wear a t-shirt with our stuff on it, that's probably coming up. Or like a coaster. Yeah, or
get some fun designs going. We just got something.
Or a magnet. Or a sticker.
So you're going to open up a Redbubble shop and just put our logo on it.
Correct. If you want to do that, that's going to be available soon. If you live in Florida and are going to MegaCon, we're going to be at MegaCon this upcoming weekend. There's no way this episode comes out by then. I'm going to try to get this episode up by then.
If you were at MegaCon, did you see us?
Yeah. If you want to hang out with us at MegaCon, find us. We'll be there. We'll love to say hi and take a picture.
Send us a message or something on like Instagram.
On Twitter.
Yeah, because we met up with a fan last year.
We did. It was a good time. Yeah. So that's MegaCon in Orlando, Florida this upcoming weekend. We will be there. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon, where you get our second podcast, Where's Mephisto? Berto, where are we looking for Mephisto right now?
Most recently, we had finished What If.
Yeah.
And we had most recently done Echo.
That's right.
Just the whole series in like one episode.
Yes. And then again, that's where we talk about all the upcoming streaming shows, looking for Mephisto, seeing Mephisto's going to pop his ass in them.
Yeah.
And next will be Netflix's Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes.
That's as low as $3, and there's a free trial, so just do it.
Just do the trial. Do the trial, consume a bunch of content, maybe you'll fall in love with us.
Hell yeah. If you want to hang out with us throughout the week, we are on Discord, linked below. It's absolutely free. If you want to be a part of the show, we stream all these shows live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/filmsfrompz. Also on X/Twitter. So that's filmsfrompz. And
I hate that it's two names.
I know, though. Dude. It gets confusing, too. And on YouTube, Films from the Phantom Zone, also live on there. So come hang out with us. Talk to us. If you do, you'll be like our friends, Zach the Fat Man, Philly to the J.
Blake's Takes.
Arculus. Also Summer through Blake's Takes.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's all we had today, yeah.
Talking to us, being a part of the show, come do that. You can find us on Instagram, Films from the Phantom Zone, Twitter, Films from PZ, TikTok, Films from PZ. Guys, I think that's it. We'll see you guys next time with The Last Airbender.
Hell yeah.
And also, I think Sable might be a part of it. We also had a segment with Blake's Takes talking about that movie. So we're going to do a couple of fun things to commemorate the event.
Did any of our other friends send anything in like we requested?
No, but I also talked to Blake's Takes for like 20 minutes. So I think that's enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to balloon the episode out if we ask for more.
I know, but it could be a fun way to get our friends involved.
We're not getting Max. He's too busy.
He's not, though. That's the thing.
Summer said no.
He makes himself busy. Yeah. Summer said no.
She said no. We asked her several times.
I'm upset.
I'm upset, too. Okay, goodbye.
Bye.